Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the midweek edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. This is Pastor Paul White. Glad to have you with me today. I am going to go back into the message we started on Monday's program. Before we do, I want to invite you to come out starting tomorrow night. Those of you that live in the southeast Missouri area, you could make that short drive to the Puxico area. We'll be there for a few nights starting tomorrow night at the Hobbs Chapel Methodist Church. This is right off of Highway 51. If you take 60 Highway, if you're heading east from Poplar Bluff or heading west into Poplar Bluff, you will come to 51 Junction, take 51 north, and just look for the signs on the left-hand side of the road. Just a few miles down the road, you'll find Hobbs Chapel Methodist Church. Pastor Katie Bryant has invited us to come out and be with her congregation the next few nights starting tomorrow night. And so we would love to have you, a radio listener, come out and be with us. So we'll speak a little more of that the next 2 days, but keep that on your calendar. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at 7 o'clock. All right, let's get into the message. We started this on Monday. Here is a continuation of Perfect Rest in the Seven Wounds of Jesus.
To me, it reads like this. Paul, he was wounded for your transgressions. Paul, he was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was on Jesus. You know what the word chastisement is? Discipline. The discipline that you deserve, I put on Jesus so that you and I wouldn't be at war with each other anymore. The discipline for your peace I put on him. He was despised, and so many times you've esteemed him not. He was despised. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Last part. With his stripes, Paul, you are healed. Peter thought this was such a done deal that when he repeats this verse in Peter, he says, by his stripes we were healed. He changed it to were, because he thought, man, this is a done deal. If you just accept what he has done, this is the cleft of the rock. So what is the second wound of Christ? My sins, my transgressions, my mastiques in the Greek. The discipline of God against me. And Jesus stood right in the middle. It's as if God had pulled back his bow to strike you. And Jesus, the only qualified one to stand in the gap, jumped in the middle and said, whatever you planned on doing to them, Father, do it to me. And God, who is just, who had always set it up for sacrifice. Isn't this remarkable? God has such forethought. The only way one man could die for the whole world is if one man had caused the whole world to go into sin. We all go, oh, Adam, man, if Adam hadn't ate the tree of the fruit, then we would all be okay. Don't think so highly of yourself. Had you been man number two? No, not so good. Adam, but thank, I'm going to say this is going to sound so strange. Thank God Adam fell. So hang with me. I know it's odd. Thank God Adam fell, because by Adam falling, he became the representative man for everybody. That qualified God to save everybody by one man. Thank God Adam did it wrong so Jesus could do it right. Praise God. Had Adam got it right, you would be in charge of you. You would be the one, because God would go, hey, don't blame Adam. Adam did it right. What about you? But because Adam did it wrong, and all of us are born and conceived into the same sin, God could say, if one man got him down, one man can pick him up. By one man's offense, many are led into sin. So by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. Praise God. Wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace on him, and by his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Halfway there, two wounds down. Praise the Lord. Keep going backwards to Isaiah 50. Isn't the word awesome? Beautiful? Remarkable? Praise God. And just think, this thing's been sitting on our bookshelves collecting dust beneath our magazines and other things. And this thing was so full of life and fire and awesome love and grace. Let's pull this back out to its place of prominence and see Jesus again. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Here comes a unique verse, never repeated in the Word, which has caused a lot of people to believe this may not have happened because the New Testament doesn't mention it. I choose to believe it did, and I'm going to show you why when we read it. Verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. I want you to notice the third wound that Jesus suffered on his way to the cross was the Roman soldiers knocked him down, grabbed hold of the hair on his face, and yanked his beard from his face. This was a practice that was started by the Assyrians. When they would conquer a foreign army, they would grab fistfuls of their enemy's beard and yank. If they took skin off, it was just that much funnier to them. If they tore your face, the skin from the bone, it was just that much better. Then they would spit in the open wound as a sign of embarrassing you and shaming you. You get a glimpse of this in the Old Testament when the Assyrians captured some of David's men and they didn't know it was David's men. If they had known it was David's men, they had used a different approach. Because David didn't put up with this kind of stuff lightly. But they captured some Hebrew soldiers. They didn't realize they were Jews, and they tore out half their beards and sent them home with the other half intact. And David told them, go home, wait till your beards grow back. Because it was that shameful to be seen, because it meant you had been conquered by your enemies. And it was an embarrassment and a shame. Now the reason why I believe this happened, now when you research this with commentaries or theologians, some of them are going to say, well, this was just a reference to the way foreign armies treated soldiers. But we don't believe this really happened to Jesus because we don't believe that, and really, this is the danger in trying to make the Bible line up with your doctrine instead of trying to let your doctrine line up with the Bible. You know where this is coming from? From people that don't want Jesus to have had long hair and facial hair. When you go research it, every one of them are trying to prove to you that Jesus had short hair and no facial hair. Okay? And so what they're doing is they're trying to, this is where you gotta twist doctrine, make your stuff stand up. Don't ever touch the Bible to make your thoughts stand. Let your thoughts adapt to the Word. You'll be at peace, you'll be at rest if you let your thoughts adapt to the Word. Jewish men have always worn beards to try to get rid of the beard on Jesus in the New Testament because you didn't see Isaiah 50 in verse 6 repeated. Is to try to get an ideology and twist the Bible to make it work for you. I do believe it happened because Isaiah 50 and 6 is prophesying of him taking the smiting. It's prophesying of him doing something very important in the last part of the verse. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And we know, according to the New Testament, he took the spitting. Now, why would one half of the verse have been accurate and the other half of the verse have been left alone? So the third wound of Christ was the removal of the hair from his face. This was a sign of embarrassment and shame. When Christ suffered that at the cross, he took embarrassment and shame for you. He despised the shame. The Bible tells us in Hebrews he endured the cross despising the shame. But he had to have had shame to be able to despise it. So there was shame and embarrassment. How can I get any rest in this at all? Because there is no shame and no embarrassment to be found in God's new covenant of grace, because Jesus took all of your shame and all of your embarrassment. No reason for you to ever be ashamed. In fact, Paul said in Romans 5, hope maketh not ashamed. You'll never be ashamed of yourself if you hope in Jesus' finished work. Paul was so convinced that in Romans 1:16 he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek and to all whom believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Paul knew the gospel was so strong, it would save sinners and it would make saints righteous. It would make them righteousness come out of their lives. And he said, I'm not going to be embarrassed of that. I am not ashamed. Why should I be ashamed when I see how much shame Jesus suffered for me? These things work. If you can rest in these clefts, you can rest in these wounds, start realizing what Jesus paid for so that you qualify for His blessings. Rest comes in the knowledge that Jesus has already paid for them. So let the shame that came with it be put in Jesus. Now, go back to John 19. You know what? Don't. Go to Matthew 13. I'm going to quote for you John 19. It's verse 2. And the only reason I'm quoting it is we were right there a moment ago. I don't need to take you to one more verse to show you that Jesus, here's your fourth wound, Jesus had a crown of thorns pressed into his skull. Fourth point of bloodletting on the body of Christ, the crown of thorns. The reason I was going to take you to John 19:2 is to show it to you. So when you want to see crown of thorns, John 19:2 will show you the crown of thorns. Other gospels will show you as well. The reason I'm taking you to Matthew is this. Whenever Jesus suffered the crown of thorns, the word crown in the Greek is literally a wreath or a wrapping. So what they did is not just fashion a few little thorns and just set it up on top of his hair. Okay? The wreath of thorns, the crown of thorns, we're going to be in Matthew 13, by the way. The wreath of thorns was literally a mass of thorns that they brought off of a bush and then pressed on top of his head. The common way to do it was for once you fashioned it very carefully, because we're talking thorns 3, 4, 5 inches long, they would then just set it on top of the victim's head and then take a rod and smash it down onto their head. They couldn't smash it effectively with their own hands because they couldn't grip it. So you would stand there and beat on the top of it with a rod until you pressed it down. The thorns would then go between the surface of the skin and the skull itself. You can imagine, maybe we can't imagine, or we could only imagine, I gotta say it that way, the excruciating pain this had to have put, especially on a victim who has already sweat great drops of blood. So they're at the point of dehydration and literally losing blood. And he's already had the scourging, the beating, the cat of nine tails. He's already lost an enormous amount of blood. He should be dead by now. He's had the beard yanked from his face. Aside from the pain of that, now the shame and the embarrassment of the way they've dressed him. And the soldiers then put the crown of thorns upon Jesus' head. Every point of impact on Christ, he was thinking of you. When he's in the garden, he's thinking, I got to set my people free from thinking they got to earn their bread. So I'll put my blood into their sweat. When they're beating him and scourging him, he's got to say, my people will deserve to be beaten. They will deserve to be scourged. They will deserve to be chastised. But I will take their sins and I will take their sicknesses and I will take their punishment. So hit me again because I love them so much. And did you know that he was even suffering the wounds that were being put on him, the soldiers that were beating him? He was taking their punishment for beating him. What great love. Now on this fourth one, as they press the thorns into his skull, and Jesus suffers this, the best way to interpret the Bible is to use the Bible. We want to find out what one verse means. We don't have to go outside of it. Let's go inside, and let's go to Matthew 13, and watch this verse in Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower, remember? He goes out to sow seed on the ground. One gets in the wayside. Some of it gets in stony ground. And what happens to the third kind of seed? Falls onto thorny ground, right? Rocky ground. Matthew 13:22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now I want you to notice the man receives the seed among the thorns. He that hears the word is the same guy that receives the seed, right? So what are the thorns? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out what this man has. So what are thorns? The cares of this world. Word in the Greek, the cares of this age. I like to say it this way. The cares of this life.
That is all that we have time for today. Thank you for listening to the message titled Perfect Rest in the Seven Wounds of Jesus. For your own personal copy of this message, we'll send it to you, our listener, postage paid and free of charge. If you'll contact us at the ministry and ask for it by its title, Perfect Rest in the Seven Wounds of Jesus. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White, hoping you have a great day. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.